to pay as close attention to what I'm going to show you as you're capable of doing. I know that I have a melodious type of voice at times that puts people to sleep. And Joanne, remember those tapes, Jimmy, where she said she didn't want to give them back because she said, that's the only way I can go to sleep? So I have a melodious voice. So this time, try to stay awake, because I'm going to talk about something that is the most important aspect of salvation. It's something you really can't understand until after you've experienced it. And then you have to learn it from God's Word. And it's quite remarkable. It's the most remarkable thing you'll ever discover in your life. We sing Amazing Grace all the time. And we sing the words, and we mean it, Amazing Grace. Quite frankly, I didn't understand how amazing that grace was the night I got saved. And I have only come to understand how amazing it is in the years that have followed. It is really quite remarkable. Now, if I don't finish it this morning, when the big hand comes around and it's 12 o'clock, I'll stop wherever I am. But Lord willing, I'll attempt to finish it tonight. I hope I can get this point across, because it's difficult to understand. And it's difficult because it is so amazing that it is almost unbelievable. Now, you've heard me use this scripture many times. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us into Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, you're no longer under a schoolmaster. You're not under the law anymore. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, the law was a curse. You say, how could it be a curse? It's perfect. Paul said, we know that the law is spiritual. He said, but I am carnal, sold under sin. The law, the commandments of God, were a curse. Who were they a curse to? To every man that broke the womb of a woman. To every man born, to every woman born, to every child born, the law was a curse. We were born under it. That's why Christ was born under it. It says he was born under the law. Every human being that came from a woman's womb was born under the curse of the law. Why was it a curse? Because you can't keep it. The law is God's standard of righteousness. It's God's way. Only God is that righteous. No other person, no other being can be as righteous as God. And God had to come as a man and fulfill that curse as a man so that he could do it for you and could redeem you from under the curse of the law. That's what grace is. I've run into a lot of preachers that don't understand grace. They preach grace, and they don't preach it incorrectly. But when I talk to them, somehow they just don't seem to grasp it. So as I present this, I hope you understand the point that I'm trying to make, because I'm going to make it from Scripture. Now, the law is a powerful instrument after a person is saved to lead a person back under it. In other words, yes, now I'm saved. Yes, now I've been saved by grace through faith. But surely you don't believe that there is no sin I can ever commit that would cause God to send me to hell. And most religious groups laugh at us. They say, you mean to tell me that there's no sin that you can commit that will send you to hell? Absolutely none. And they find that to be absolutely ridiculous. They cannot grasp it because they do not understand grace. Now, already in this church at Galatia, as I've pointed out many times, a group of people who had been saved, genuinely saved, had accepted the blood of Christ as the atonement for their sin, had believed that Jesus had redeemed them from the curse of the law, were trying to go right back underneath it to add to what Christ had already done. Christ delivered us from the curse of the law. Christ delivered us from the curse of the law that we were born under. It is a one-time deliverance from a curse that we were born under, and we never, never are placed back under that curse by God. Paul wrote to the church at Galatia. He said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, in the church there were those he believed had been bewitched by a spell. Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you?" He said, "Don't you realize that Christ redeemed you from the curse of the law? Don't you realize that he has been set before you as the one who has kept the law, as the one who has been crucified on a cross to deliver you from the curse of the law?" He said, "What's the matter with you?" He said, "This only would I learn of you, received you the Spirit by the works of the law." He said, "Did God save you because you could keep the curse of the law, because you could measure up to his standard of righteousness, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish," he said, "being saved by Christ and your confidence and faith in him, having delivered you from the curse of the law?" He said, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Are you going right back under that system where now you've got to keep the Ten Commandments, or if you break some of them, you go to hell? How many do you have to break? Being made perfect by the flesh." He said, "Now do you think you can work in the flesh and be a goody-two-shoes and go to church all the time and do all those things, and maybe God will add that to what Christ did and it'll be enough to get you to heaven?" Jesus did it all. That's what amazing grace is. Jesus did it all. And some people, even after they're saved, have a great deal of difficulty in understanding this. He said, "Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain?" He said, "All the things you've suffered, all the persecutions you've gone through," he said, "was that all for nothing? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" He said, "It was Christ that did it by faith. The apostles are committing these miracles and doing them by faith, not by the works of the law." He said, "You're not under the law anymore." Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He said, "Don't you realize that Abraham came along before the law was ever given to Moses? Don't you realize the only righteousness Abraham ever had was his belief that God would keep his promise? And God promised Abraham a seed. And the seed that Abraham promised was to be a continuation of Genesis 3:15. And Abraham also believed that one day God would send a seed, a man-child, Christ Jesus, born of the law, who would save all men by grace, by belief, not by faith. Abraham was born long before the law was ever given. So that he said, "How can you possibly believe what you believe, knowing that Abraham didn't even know what the law was? Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." I'm not under the law anymore. I'm not under the condemnation of God anymore. I'm not under the curse of God anymore. I've been set free. And if you say to me, "Well, Brother McMurray, I don't understand," you've never been set free. You've never understood how free you are. You say, "Well, if I believe that, I'd just do anything I wanted." Oh, no, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. Because you would realize what a terrible price Christ paid and how gracious and wonderful he's been to you when you were helpless, unable to keep the law. And you'd come to church because you loved him. You wouldn't come to church for any other reason. And that's the real reason for coming to church, because you're so all-fired gracious to the Lord and thankful to the Lord for what he's done for you. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel the good news unto Abraham, saying, "In thee shall all nations be blessed, in the seed of Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob." And Abraham was the seed of Terah. And Terah goes all the way back to the seed of Seth. And Seth was the one who was the predator who came before, and through the promised seed came. And the promised seed was Jesus Christ, and born in a manger in Bethlehem. He's the only man who ever lived that kept the law. He personally delivered you from the condemnation of the law. You are not under the law. You are no longer under the condemnation of God. And even if you try to put yourself back under it, you're going to suffer in the flesh for it, and you're not going to give glory to God. But he's not even going to send you to hell if you try to keep yourself under it. "And thee shall all the nations be blessed." So then they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as under the works of the law are under the curse. Now here we come. And here we come to the crux of grace. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Many people get saved. And after they get saved, and Christ sets them free from the curse of the law, and they have realized they can't keep it perfectly, and so they go to Jesus and trust him to save them. They try to go right back under it. For as many as are under the curse of the law, or under the works of the law, under the curse. You were born under that curse. I was born into that curse. Whether you believe it or realize it or not, the Bible clearly teaches that when you came to Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins and trusting Him to save you, you were delivered from the curse of the law. What is the curse of the law? The condemnation of God. You were passed one time from death unto life. You were passed one time from under the curse of the law and under the condemnation of God, and you were set free from eternal damnation in hell forever. Hard to believe, isn't it? You say, well, that would leave it totally up to the mercy of God. There wouldn't be anything I could do to save myself except just throw myself upon the mercy of God in Christ. That's exactly what grace is. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You were born in that curse. So was I. Well, if we could have kept the law, kept every jot and tittle of it, love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our mind and all our might and all our soul and our neighbor as ourselves, if we could have gone through life without ever lying, if we had gone through our life without ever being jealous, without ever being envious, without ever being angry, if we could have gone through our lives and never have sinned, never, what is sin? It's the breaking of the law. If we had gone through life and never once made one single sin because we broke any part of the law of God, then we would be able to live in them. And we would have eternal life. But the law was a curse. And it was a curse that was to make us realize how much under the curse of God we are. And to drive us to Christ, because Christ removed the curse of the law because He kept it for you personally. When you come to Him, God no longer keeps you under the law. God no longer keeps you under condemnation. God no longer has any future plans for you to go to hell. You've been passed from death unto life. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. The just shall live by faith. See that word just? It's justified. The justified shall live by faith. I can't live by faith unless Christ lives in me. I can't live by faith unless I'm justified by Christ. If Christ is not in me as my justifier, if I have not repented of my sins and come to Him and been set free from the curse of the law, I cannot live by faith. A person that is justified can live by faith because he has the seed of Christ in him. But until you have been justified by faith, you cannot live by faith. And it's all by grace. The only reason I'm here this morning is because Christ saved me 61 years ago. The only reason I'm preaching is because it is God that worketh in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And the only reason you're here is because God's Spirit led you here. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth shall live in them. Remember the lawyer that came to Jesus? He said, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord turned the question back on him. He said, what saith the law? Because this lawyer was under the curse of it. He said, what saith the law? The lawyer summed it up, and Jesus commended it. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy might and all thy soul, and thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus said, this do, and thou shalt live. He said, that's the whole law in all the prophets. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy might and all thy soul and thy neighbor as thyself. He said, you do this and you live. But the lawyer couldn't do it. We are all born under the curse of the law. 61 years ago, I didn't understand this. I was a frightened 12-year-old boy who knew there was a God, who knew that Christ was his son, who knew he died on the cross for his sins, and who knew he was going to hell and was scared to death of going to hell, and he came to Christ. And Christ saved him. I didn't know all this then, but I do now. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. He did it. You couldn't redeem yourself from it, nor could I. How did he do it, being made a curse for us? He became a curse, and he was innocent. Adam wasn't innocent, the first Adam, but the second Adam was. And because he was innocent before God lifted him above all men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow. And Luke says, all power in heaven and earth is given unto him. I am only righteous before God because of this man. I am only removed from the curse of the law because of this man. I am only passed from death unto life because of this man. I am only removed from under the condemnation of God because of this man. He has paid the full price for me. And I am no longer under the curse of the law. There is no sin I can ever commit that God would look upon me and say, okay, Tom, you're going to hell. No, because this man kept the law for me, every jot and tittle, and he imputed his righteousness to me. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. I've had some people tell me, well, Brother Michael Murray, if you tell that to people, they'll quit coming to church. Oh, no. Oh, no. Not in a million years. Not in a million years. If you understand that, and you see how much somebody loves you, and you see what he went through to pay the price for you, and you realize that God loved you as a sinner, and you were born under the curse of the law, and would have gone straight to hell unless he had intervened, and unless he had kept the law for you, you'll come to church more often. You'll be more dedicated to God, and your life will count for something. But until you accept that, and until you believe it, your faithfulness will be dependent upon your fear of God. And God will keep you coming to church by fear. But God wants you to come to church because you love him. And you realize that had he not sent his son, had his son not been born under the law, had his son, God dwelling in him, not fulfilled all the law, you'd be hell-bound. And then you'll come and serve him in gratitude and in love, which is the way all people are supposed to come to church. And the reason that they are all supposed to come to church. Does a corruptible or incorruptible seed indwell you? This is part three of this series. The indwelling seed both saves and keeps us. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. What is a corruptible seed? It's one that dies and perishes and fades away, just like your flesh fades away in the grave. It's a corruptible seed. It doesn't last. It's born under the law. It's born under the curse of the law. I wasn't born by a corruptible seed. I was born by a corruptible seed when I came to this world from the womb of my mother. But I was born of incorruptible seed 61 years ago. I was born by faith, by hearing the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I'm standing here and you can't see him, but he's in me. The word of God and the seed that God planted in me 61 years ago, he's alive. When God looks at me, he sees Christ in me. And I am no longer under his condemnation for hell. I'm no longer under the curse of the law. There is no sin I can ever commit that would send me to hell. You say, well, that just sounds impossible. That's why it's amazing grace. One man loved you enough to give his life and live a perfect life for you. And he's the only man who ever did. He's the only man who ever kept God's standard of righteousness. And in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And when you get saved, the scripture says, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Do you know what the real tragedy in hell is going to be? A lot of people in hell, and they won't, they'll all eternity in hell and in the lake of fire. All they had to do was come to Jesus and believe that he was their Redeemer. He was their Savior, that he kept the law for them, and that he redeemed them from the curse of God and passed them from death unto life. And they would not come to him. He said, and you will not come to me that you might have life. Such a short distance to come to Jesus and trust him. You say, what else do I have to trust? Nothing else. Nothing else. It wasn't baptism that kept the law. When Jesus was baptized, he kept the ritual of baptism, which was a ritual underneath the temple that the priest had to do. He kept the baptismal ritual. He kept everything. And he did it all for you. Sure, after you get saved, you ought to be baptized, be a part of the church, but it doesn't save you. Sure, you ought to do good works. You ought to try to keep the law, but it doesn't save you. The one who saves you is Jesus. He sets you for free. Absolutely. All by his work. Completely by him. 1 John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Well, in that case, we're all going to hell. Because you know as well as I do, even though your faith is in Christ, you know you commit sin. So which sin is he talking about? The sin of the curse of the law. He's talking about the condemning sin under which you were born. And God says, when you're born again, you will never in my eyes commit the sin that I have defined to you by my standard of righteousness. Because when I look at you, here's what I see. For his seed, Jesus Christ, remaineth in him. He doesn't come and go. He lives in him forever. And he cannot commit sin because he's born of God. There is no sin that I will ever commit or could ever commit that would put me back under the condemnation of God, that would cause God to send me to hell. Because there is someone living in me who came there when I repented of my sins and trusted in Christ some 61 years ago. Have you ever just completely acknowledged to yourself and to God that there's no way you can measure up to the standard of righteousness that he expects you to have to enter into heaven? Have you ever just looked at yourself and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner? That's what the publican did. He would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, and he beat on his breast. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the mercy of God in keeping the law and breaking the curse of the law which you were born under. That's amazing grace. God will not impute any sin to me that would send me to hell because I've been passed from death unto life. I am no longer under the condemnation of God. I shall not come into condemnation. John 5:24. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, I did, and believeth on him that sent me. I believe God the Father sent him, and I believe he redeemed me from the curse of the law, and he became a curse for me, having hanging on the cross and bearing all my sins in his body, on his body. Hath everlasting life. Hath is the present indicative active. I have everlasting life right now. And here is where I was released, pulled out, forever removed from under the condemnation of law from which I was born under, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Unbelievable, isn't it? Unbelievable. I mean absolutely unbelievable that God's Son did it all, every bit of it. And all he asks from you is to repent of your sinful condition, acknowledge that you're born under the curse of the law and you can't keep it, and to come to Christ. He said, and you will not come to me that you might have life. If we have the transplanted seed of Christ in us, God does not impute our sins, our transgression to the law unto us. He does punish us for unconfessed sins during this present life, but he does not condemn us to hell for them. The transplanted seed of God remains, continues to abide in the believer, and is the only righteousness he or she has before God. You say, well, that makes me sound like a helpless little insignificant worm. Welcome to the club. That's what we all are, helpless little insignificant worms who had to be saved by the one who made us because we could not redeem ourselves. We could not live up to God's standard of righteousness. And God will not impute sin to any born-again person and place them back under his condemnation for sin. He just won't do it. The transplanted seed eternally passes them from spiritual death to everlasting life. He took away my sins, past, present, and future. When Christ died on the cross after having kept every jot and tittle of the law, I was hundreds of years away in birth. And all my sins were future. He took away my sins, past, present, and future, then hid me in him from the condemnation for those sins. I'm hidden in Christ. Christ is in me, and I'm hidden in Christ. And when God looks at me, he sees what his Son did for my condition of being born under the law. I am totally, absolutely, completely indebted to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sins and for my salvation. I have faith in nothing else. I wasn't baptized to be saved. I was baptized because I wanted to be obedient to the new master that I received from the new birth. I didn't find a church that taught and preached the truth to be saved. I found it because Christ lived in me, and I wanted to be in union with Christ in fellowship, and I wanted to obey my master. And that's why you ought to go to church, and that's why you ought to learn the things about church, and that's why you ought to be interested in going to a church that preaches and teaches of the truth, not to be saved, but because you are saved and you want to follow the Lord in truth. I am hidden from the condemnation of God in Christ. He took away my sins, past, present, and future, then hid me from the condemnation for those sins. I am hidden from the condemnation of God in Christ. I am eternally set free from the condemnation of God in my eternal Savior, Jesus Christ. Now please listen to me. Is this a big mystery to you? Is this something you just look at it and you say, I can't believe that. You believe what I've been preaching, Jack? You know why he believes it? Because he's got the seed living in him. But if this is all Greek to you, and you're looking at this and you're saying, well, I don't know what he's talking about. You know why I know what I'm talking about? 61 years ago, as a frightened, helpless 12-year-old boy, I came to Jesus Christ and he saved me. Once his seed got inside me, I can learn about his grace. I can understand the scriptures and how merciful he is. Until you come to Jesus Christ and trust in him to save you, all this will be Greek to you. It'll be something that seems impossible. Can't be. But you have to make the initial step. You have to come trusting Jesus to save you from what you are, a sinner born under the curse of the law. And you have to put your faith in a man that's alive in heaven who died for you on the cross. Then you can understand all this. It's not something that's a mystery. People that are saved can understand it. 1 John 3, 4, and 5. Now let's talk about sin. What sin is? Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Think about that. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. So can I go to hell now? And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. He kept the law. Sin is the transgression of the law. And now when God looks at me, he sees the only man who ever kept it living inside me. And he was manifested to take away my sins, and in him is no sin. I've been passed from death unto life. Christ kept the law, removed me from the curse of death. Eternal separation from God. Eternal spiritual separation from God. And Christ kept the law. And Christ did it all for me and for you. 1 Peter 1, 2, 24. Who his own self bear our sins. Plural. Were any of you alive when he died on the cross? No. Is that not plural? Were you not future? Did he not die for all the sins of those in the Old Testament? The sins of the day, is that not plural? Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin. What does it mean, dead to sin? Removed from under the curse of the law. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if salvation came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Christ crucified you with him, made you alive in him, put himself in you, so that you could live under righteousness. You know why I'm a righteous man? Because I have the only righteous man who ever lived living inside me. You know why I am capable of performing righteous acts? Only by the directives of the one who indwells me. He imputed and gave his righteousness to me, and it's the only righteousness I'll ever have for all eternity. He crucified me with him, buried me with him, resurrected me with him. He lives in me so I can live and do righteous acts. Otherwise, God couldn't possibly accept him. By whose stripes you were healed, past tense. I was completely healed and forever removed from the condemnation of God. I was the leper whose spots were washed away. I was the leopard whose spots were changed. And it was those stripes and that beating that that man took that was for me. It was the punishment that he endured for me. It were my sins that grievously wounded him on the cross. And he set me free. I am no longer under the curse of the law. If you believe that, you won't have a problem coming to church and serving God. You won't have a problem in asking for forgiveness of your sins. You'll do it willingly and purposely. But if you don't understand that, heaven only knows what your motivation for coming to church is. Colossians 3:3-4. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Christ is in God. God is in Christ. I am in Christ. And I am in God in Christ. You say, well, how in the world that happened? Only the Spirit of God could do it. And the Spirit of God did it when I came to Christ and accepted him as my personal Savior, my only hope, and put all my faith in him. What am I waiting for now? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. My flesh is just as sinful as it ever was, with all the sinful inclinations. Christ has just taught me how to fight a better fight by the power of his Spirit. But he's not going to redeem my old fleshly body until the final resurrection. He's been working in me for 61 years. He'll never stop working. How much work will he be allowed to do? That's up to me. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. How much work will he do in you? That's up to you. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. You're going to let about as much of his mind be in you as you can be able to submit to him and overcome this terrible creature named your flesh that has a nature inside it that is totally alien to God. But if you've been saved, Christ is in you. And if you let him work in you, you'll discover the path that he leads you along is a lot more peaceful path, a lot more happiness, a lot more satisfaction, a lot more joy. Hebrews 9:24-28. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, like the temple, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself. He ascended into heaven. He said, what an if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And these are his words that you're looking at on this screen, which are the figures of true. But into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. You want an advocate with the Father? You want somebody that will be there continually for you? You want to be absolutely certain you'll never go to hell again? Well, you better get to know this man. And you better come to him to get saved. Because he's the only intercessor in heaven there is. And unless he's there as your Savior, you are headed for hell. Nor yet that he should offer himself often. Whenever the temple was there, a person would sin. And it would bother them, conscience. So they'd take an animal sacrifice. Then they'd offer the animal sacrifice. It never took away sin. But it pictured the coming one who would. And it relieved them of an evil conscience. And they'd feel, okay, I've brought the sacrifice. The blood's been shed. The body's been offered to the animal. Now, that sin's behind me. And they would put that sin behind them. Then, a few days later, they'd commit another sin. Here comes another animal. Pretty soon they got to where they'd lie to themselves and say they hadn't sinned because they were running out of sheep. But they'd take the offering, shed the blood, and they'd have an evil conscience. I only have one lamb. Only one lamb. In my hand, O price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I only had one offering. There was no other offering I could bring. That offering was made for me many, many, many years ago. It was a one-time offering. I don't have to keep bringing offerings anymore. I've been removed from under the curse of the law. I've been set free in Christ Jesus. So how do I offer sacrifice to God today? in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The sacrifices that I offer today are not for my sins. They are in thanksgiving to the man who kept the cross for me, who removed me from under the curse of the law, and forever set me free in himself. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters into holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He put away all my sins. I have an appointment with death, but I do not have an appointment with spiritual death. I've been passed from death into life. I have an appointment with physical death, but not with spiritual death. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. I'm not going to be judged at the great white throne of judgment. I'm not going to be cast into hell. Because this man, Christ Jesus, offered his body and his blood for my sin, was crucified on a cruel tree for me. For Christ was once offered to bear the sins, plural of many. How many? You want Christ to bear your sins? Come to him. Jesus said, and you will not come to me that you might have life. You want to be passed from death unto life? You want to be removed from under the condemnation of God, from under the condemnation, the curse of the law? I can't do it for you. No other man can do it for you except Jesus. He did it. He did it one time. He took your sins in his own body. You come trusting Jesus. You'll never have to worry about hell again. You'll never have to worry about the lake of fire. You'll have to worry about punishment in the flesh if you don't confess your sins. But you'll never have to go back under the condemnation of God. And to them that look for him, and I look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. What does it mean without sin? He took all my sins. Did he take all your sins? Have you been delivered from under the curse of the law? Is there uncertainty in your heart and in your life? Are you this morning saying, well, I don't know about all this? Well, Jesus does. And it amounts to whether or not you're willing to come to the only man who could please God. This morning, if you want to be saved, I can't save you. This church can't save you. And when you finally get to the point where you realize you can't save yourself, then the Lord will save you. You say, how do I go to Jesus? Does it mean coming down a church aisle? Is that the way you go to Jesus? No, that's the way you make a profession of faith. You say, well, how do I get saved? Same way we all got saved. When we realized we had to have a Savior. And if we didn't have a Savior, we were going to hell. And we believed that Jesus died for our sins on the cross, was alive in heaven to hear our prayer, and we ask him to save us. We're going to have a silent moment of prayer. And right where you're sitting, Jesus will save you this morning. His Son will save you. Jesus will save you. And he'll set you free. He'll pass you from death unto life, and you will never come into condemnation. Just go to Jesus as a sinful human being and ask him to save you. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you made it all by grace. Lord Jesus, I thank you for coming. I thank you for doing what you did for all of us. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for convicting us of our sinful condition. I thank you, Lord, for showing us that the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Jesus so that he might relieve us from the curse of the law. I pray, Heavenly Father, if someone here this morning has trusted your Son, has asked your Son to save them, that when this invitation is given, they'll not be ashamed of the one they put their faith in or in the prayer they ask for salvation. I pray they'll come forward trusting in Jesus and professing him as their Savior. These things I ask in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen.